The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Lamed Gimal. Today's daf is being studied in Neshmat Mor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sarah, Ve'marat Zekenati Yafat Ben Sarah, Ve'Neshmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Teniham Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Lamed Bet Amud Bet, and we are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom, starting with the words Rav Papa. Let's just review where we're holding in this sugya. We had a braita in yesterday's daf. The braita, I repeat, was a case of a nichnas tachanoto shel nagar. Person went into the store of a carpenter shelo bereshut. He didn't have permission. V'nitza bakarat v'tafchal panav. And the guy was cutting the wood, the carpenter, and a piece went and killed the guy. So the dean of the braita was umet, and the guy died. Patur. He's patur from galut, he's patur from everything. Because he went in, shelo bereshut. V'im nichnas bereshut. But if he got permission to come in, he saw him come in, he knew he was there, let him come in, hayav. So it says, hayav. So the question is, the Gemara, my hayav, the Gemara said above, what does hayav mean? So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, hayav bedalet devarim. He's hayav in the four payments, if he damaged them. Because damaging, even if you're not a posheya, well, it doesn't matter, you have to pay everything. In this case, called Sheker, he's a posheya. He let the guy come in, and therefore he's considered a damager. If he has to pay four payments, he doesn't have to pay the fifth payment of boshet, because boshet you only pay if you had kavanah to damage. And then it says, upatur megalut. Oh, so the Gemara analyzed, what's the pshat, patur megalut? Why, in this case, mean patur megalut? So one interpretation we explained is patur megalut, that he doesn't even qualify for galut because it's less than a galut situation. And he brought an ayah from Ya'ar. And what? A ya'ar that both people entered their own rishuyot. And what? In that case over there, the Gemara's language was, I'll read it to you, Nefisha eno domen ya'ar. It's not similar to a ya'ar. Ya'ar zed reshuto nechnas ved reshuto nechnas. Each one enters their own reshut. Zed reshut havero nechnas. In this case over here, he entered the reshut of his haver, which means he entered the reshut of his neighbor, and therefore, you're in your friend's reshut. Therefore, he held no galut. Rabbi came along and said, what are you talking about? Kavah homer. Certainly he should be hayav galut. Why is he patur megalut? Because he's karov lemezid. Because he doesn't qualify for a galut. What do you mean he doesn't qualify for a galut? Because he's too mezid. You let the guy come in, you got to be careful. Only shogeis go to galut. Mezids don't go to galut. That was Rava's understanding. And Rava said, by the way, that's what Rabbi Yosef meant also. Patur megalut, not because it's less of a reason to go to galut. Ela, he's more guilty. And because he's more guilty, he's karov lemezid. That's how we understood the braita on yesterday's daf. Now the Gemara says, Rapapa, Mishemed Rava Matnila Aresha. Oh, Rapapa had a different way of understanding the shita of Rabbi Yosef. He read it on the first case of the braita. Hanichnas tachanuto shem nagar shelo birshut. Oh, he entered the store of the nagar without permission. And he got hit by a piece of wood. Damet patur. And on that case of patur, Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Harina, Hayav arba'a devarim, upatur megalut. That is going to be hayav in the four payments. Now, why is he going to be hayav in this case over here in the four payments? Oh. Because the Chaurah, we said, you only hayav in the four payments if you're a posheya. Here the guy came into the store without permission. So that she says he's still a posheya because he saw him. Once you see the guy coming into the store, even though you didn't give him permission, you got to be careful. And the fact that you weren't careful, so in that case, Rabbi Yosef was saying hayav. Hayav in the first case, you're going to be Hayav in Dalet Devarim. And what? Upatur Megalut. Oh, why are you going to be Patur Megalut? No, that's going to be Mamash Patur. Because what? You're Anus. What do you want? The guy came into your store. He didn't ask permission. So in that case, he's saying you're going to be Patur Megalut. So the Gemara has Doresh. Man de matni la asefa. According to the opinion that learned that the B.O.C. was poter from Galut in the Sefa case, Kosheken Aresha, or also in the first case, because if he's patu from Galut when he had permission to come in, then he killed him, certainly he's going to be patu from Galut when he didn't have permission. Uman dematni la Aresha, but the opinion that learns patu from Galut on the first case, yeah, that's because he's Anus. Aval Asefa, kivan de Bershut, since he had permission, Hayav, Galut. He's going to be Hayab Galut according to. According to the B.O.C., it depends where you're learning his statement. That statement that he said, Hayab Bedalet Devarim Upatur Megalut. Was it on the Resha of the Braita? Was on the Sefa? If you say it was on the Resha of the Braita, that what? Oh, I thought you, when is he Patur from Galut? When the guy, he didn't have permission to come in. Oh, but if he had permission to come in, Hayab Galut. But if you're saying, even if he had permission to come in, he's going to be Patur from Galut. Certainly, when in that permission to go God, therefore he'll be patur megalut. That's the way of the so comes the Gemara and says, "Umi hayav galut." Now the Gemara goes along and has another question: is indeed where, well, let's say, the fellow got permission to come in? So according to this version over here, you're telling me that what if he had permission to come in? So then he's going to be Hayav Galut. Only in a case where he didn't have permission to come in. Oh, so he's Anus. But if he had permission to come in and he killed him, he's going to be Hayav Galut. Is that so? Well, what's the problem? So Gemara says, Umi Hayav Galut, when he had permission to come in, is indeed Hayav Galut. Why? That, and yeah, Haneknas Tachanuto Shel Napach. What's the story? A guy went into the store of blacksmith. Napach is a blacksmith. There is fire over there. V'nitzan Nitzotzot. And as the blacksmith was working, some of the sparks jumped off. And killed the guy, patur. Oh, even if he got permission, he's going to be patur. And you're telling me now that if he got permission, he's chayav. So we have a contradiction. So comes the Gemara and says, Hachavimah askinan b'shulya denafhe. Shulya denafhe means he's a student, he's an apprentice. Which means the guy's coming in. Over there, he's really an apprentice. So therefore, it's almost as if the apprentice maybe has a shoot to be there. Comes Gemara and says, oh, so therefore what? So he has a shoot to be there. So still you're telling me he's patur. So Gemara says, shulya denafre lemikterakae. I understand. Just because he's an apprentice, what? So he's only, you have to kill him? Why? He's standing to die? You tell, oh, the guy's an apprentice. Oh, apprentice. Oh, so if you killed him, you're patur from Galut. Wait a minute. Well, because he's an apprentice, he's a student. So why should he be patur from Galut? Because he killed a student. So the Gemara says, Kishirabo mesarhev bo latzet ve'enu yotze. Oh, because the master was telling him, get out, please. Go away, move away. And he didn't listen. So the Gemara says, O mishum derabo mesarhev bo latzet. Lemektale ka'e. What, so if we can kill him? Because he didn't listen, he can kill him? He should still go. He killed him with the fire. He should still go to Galut. So Gemara says, no. Kasamud yatsa. He thought he went out. Which is the case they're talking about. The guy's an apprentice. The guy walked in. The master told him, listen, move away, move away. And he's working. He didn't listen. He figured he walked away. And all of a sudden he starts banging away and somebody tzotzot went and killed the guy. In that case already you're considered Anus. They're going to be patur from Galut. So he had permission to be there. But he told them to go out. He thought he listened. He didn't. So the Gemara says, what do you got to give a case of an apprentice? Anybody for that matter. He says, give me a regular case. What do you have to give me? Give me a regular case. A guy walks into the store. You tell him to go out. And he doesn't listen to you. So you're going to be patur. What did you have to give me? A case of an apprentice. Gemara says, Acher let the imtad rabbi. Another guy doesn't have fear of his master, so the guy doesn't, the expert, the blacksmith, when he tells the guy to go out, he doesn't assume that he listens. So therefore, if he kills him, you're guilty. However, here, it's a student. So he figures when he tells him to go out, he's going to listen to him. So he doesn't even pay attention. He's working. Do me a favor. Go out. Move away. He thinks he's going to listen to him. Sure enough, boom, the guy's right there. So they killed him. Patur from Galut. You know why? In that case, even though he came in Birshut, you're an honest in that case. Because you didn't anticipate, you thought the guy's going to listen to you. Oh, but a regular guy? You tell him to get out, and he doesn't listen. You hayav Galut. Why? Because that case over there, you can't assume he's going to listen to you. There's no fear to listen to you. Therefore, he's going to stay in. So that's the case. There's a difference between a regular Nagar, according to this last version of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, in the first case where he had no reshut, that's going to be patu from Galut. Because he's anus. But if he had reshut to come in, he'll be hayav Galut. Oh, when you have reshut, you're hayav. But by the case of the blacksmith, he had reshut, and he's patu from Galut. Ah, that was a student. What, a student? You can kill students? No, the student, where he told the student, go out. And he didn't listen. Okay, he didn't listen, so he can kill him. He thought he'd listen to him. Why would he have thought he'd listen to him? Because he's a student, he thinks he's listening. So what do you want from the guy? But a regular guy in the Chirameh, a regular guy that comes in, according to this version, Birshut, then in the Chirameh, according to the second version, he'll be Hayav Galud, because he's there, he gave him permission. Rav Zvid Meshemed Rava Matni La Aha. Okay, now we have a third version of Rabbi Yosef. So far we have two versions of Rabbi Yosef. First version, he said his statement on the Sefa, on the case where he came in with permission, that is Hayav Vedale Devarim Patun Megalut. Second version, he said it only on the Resha, where he came in without permission. So Hayav Vedale Devarim. Because still you saw him there, so you should have been cognizant that he was there. But you mean patur from Galut because you're in Anus. Now we give the third version of what where the Bios has said it, in a totally different context. The one says the Zim Shemed Rav Matina. Aha. Umatza. Oh, we're talking about a case over here. A guy killed Bishogeg. How did he kill Bishogeg? He had an axe, right? And he banged a tree. And a piece of wood went flying. And it says, and the piece of wood found somebody, meaning it flew, found somebody and killed them. Gemara says, "Prat lemamsi et atzmo," to the exclusion of a guy that found the piece of wood. That means he stuck his head out to receive the piece of wood. Gemara explains, "Mikaram Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, mi sheyatza even mitachat yado." Guy, let's say, threw a stone. Ve'otzi hala et rosho v'kibela, and this guy stuck his head out to receive it. Wasn't just sitting there and got hit. He made an action. He stuck his head out. Patur. Why? Because Torah says, Umatza, it found you. Not that you found it. Also on this, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Harina, Patur Megalut. Yeah, the guy that does this, if he kills him, he'll be Patur Megalut. However, if he damages, Hayav Arba'a Devarim, but he'll be Hayav Arba'a. Why? Because you're Poshaya. Because bottom line, you threw the rock in the area where there was people. So the reason why the guy stuck his head out, what are you throwing a rock in a place over there with his people? And what's the rule of the four payments? So long as there's Peshi'ah, you make all four payments. So that's what Rabbi Yosef was saying this statement about. A totally different case. Guy threw a rock and then it shoot the Rabin. Guy stuck his head out to receive it. Oh, killed him? Patu from Galut. Why? Prat the Mamsi Tatsmo. Oh, but if he damaged him, he pays. Why? Because you're a Poshaya. Oh, man, dematnila, aha. Oh. According to the opinion that learns Rabbi Yosef's statement on this case, called Sheken Akamaita. Certainly, on the case of the Kamaita, that what? That if you hayav be'arba'a devarim, in this case, where you threw it into the area where there's people, certainly you're going to be hayav arba'a devarim when a guy comes into your store, even though you didn't give him permission, but you saw him there. You see the guy there, well, you're considered a pisposer. Well, what are you continuing working? You're right, you didn't give him permission. But doesn't give you permission to continue to work. So if you're going to hold that when a guy just throws, he didn't see anybody. He just threw a rock in a crowded area. You're going to be hayav da'ad David because you're a poshaya. Certainly on the Nesha, when somebody comes into your store without your permission, but you see him, certainly you're going to be hayav da'ad David. Uman de matnila. Akamaita. Oh, but according to the opinion that learns, that what? On the Kamaita, on the first case, which means, according to the opinion that said, what's the Kamaita? The Kamaita is the case of, stone. Right, that's the carpenter case where he saw him come into the store. Oh, if you're learning it on that, because he saw him come into the store, that's why it's going to be Hayab al-Dal al-Devarim. He didn't give him permission, but he saw him. Aval aha, patur legamre. But in this case, we patur legamre. Why? Because he didn't see him baklal. He just threw it in the area. He didn't know if anybody was in the area. So there'll be a nafka mina. In this version, the nafka mina is on the Dal al-Devarim. According to this understanding, dafka, we do it in the public. Oh, if you say that, they're going to be hayab without the varim. Oh, if you hayab in that case, certainly when you saw the guy come into the store, you'll be hayab without the varim. Oh, but if you learn it only in the case where you saw when he came to the store, in this case, you'll be patu, because you didn't actually see anybody. Just sort of happened to be there was people there. Okay, very good. Comes to the Tanur Rabbanan. Po'alim, workers. Sheba olip po'asekhanam abala bayit. Okay, case, they want to get paid. Workers want to get paid, so they go to their employer's house. So they walk into the house to get paid. What happened? V'naghan shorosh shel ba'al habayit. All of a sudden, the shorosh of the ba'al habayit gored them. V'nashkan kelabosh shel ba'al habayit. Or the dog of the ba'al habayit bit them. V'mit. And they died. Patur. The ba'al habayit is off the hook. Doesn't have to pay. They don't have to compensate them. That's a patur. Patur, you have to pay kofir. Normally, if an animal of a person kills, you have to pay kofir. You have to pay a penalty. You have to pay money to the yorshim, to the inheritors. This case of it, no kofir. I don't know why yet. We'll see. The harim omrim, rasha'in po'alim litbawa secharan mibal abayit. Others say, no, workers have a right to claim their paycheck from the bal abayit. You know what that means? We will see the Gemara. Hechi dameh. What's the case now? Let's get into the details. If the employer, the one that's got to pay out the money, if he's frequent in the city, meaning you could find the guy, so therefore, why does Ahirim say that you can go into the house and get paid? What should you have to go into the guy's house for? He's frequent. You can find him in the city. Go find him in the city. Go one day to the office and get paid. You have no right to go into the house. So again, if you're learning a case where the guy can be found in the city, then there's no reason why anybody should say that the Ba'al HaBayit should be Hayav, that the employer should be Hayav. Who is should go into the guy's house without permission? It seems they went into his house. Stop, they just walked into the guy's house. Oh, so you walked into the guy's house. So Ahayim said, hey, listen, they have a right to get paid. We have a right to get paid. What do the guy's house? The guy's found in the city. Go find him somewhere else. Now, if you tell me the case is talking about where, no, that's where he is. He's only found in the house. What do you want from Tanakama? They went to the place to get paid, and that's the only place where they could find him. So the Chaura, it should be Hayaf. Because they exactly. Why are you saying Patur? What I say is, Lo tziricha begavra deshkiha. Sometimes he's at home, sometimes he's not home. You can find him, you can't find him. He's all over the place. Vekari ababa. Also, what was the case? They knocked on the door. They knocked on the door of the house. Ve'amar lihu in. And he said to them, yes. Now, what does that mean, yes? Does yes mean come in? Or does yes mean wait outside, I'll come and bring you your paycheck. So Gemara says, Mor savar in ulta mashma. Ulta means, oh yeah, come in. And therefore when they come over the guy, the dog mauls the guy to death. So in that case over there, patur, which means not patur. In that case over there, you gave him permission to come in over there. You'll be hayav over there. Because you told him to come in. That's the shita of Ahirim. Ahirim say, the workers have a right to come in, yeah, because the owner told them, come on in. He didn't say come on, he said in. And he understands in to mean, in, ulta. So therefore, now all of a sudden the dog mauls the guy to death, you'll be hayav. Umor sabar in, kum aduchtach mashma. Stay where you are. I'll come out and give you your money. Oh, so when these guys go in, hey, where should I go in? You came in at your own risk. Now the dog mauls the guy to death, patur. So the machloket is, how do you interpret? Again, it's a case where the guy sometimes over here, sometimes over there. So it's a 50-50. You can't find them there, always can't find them there. So you went to the house. It knocks on the door. In. How do you interpret in? In means come in. Now come in and already you invited the guy in. Now already you're on the hook if your door kills the guy. Or does in mean, yes, please stay there. I'll come out and give it to you. Or then if they went in, so then already they're going, the owner's going to be patur. Tanya keman damar in kum aduchtach mashma. We're going to bring a braita that's master that the word in is what? Stay where you are. Don't come in. The Tanya po'el shenichnas letboa secharom ebalabai. Same case. A po'el, a worker, went into the house of the balabai to get paid. V'nagcho shorosh shel balabai. Oh, neshecho kelabo. His ox gored him to death, or his dog bit him to death. Patur. Even though he entered Birshut. So the Gemara says, am I patur? What do you mean? If he entered Birshut, why should he be patur? Oh, so that cannot be the case. Because if the guy told him, come on in, then of course the owner is going to be hayav. El alav de kare ababa. Must be called in from the door. Amar le in. And what? It must mean that in means stay where you are. That's why if they came in and the door kills them, the owner is going to be patur. So we have a braita to support the opinion that says in means kum beduchtach. Comes the next Mishnah. Shnei shivarim tamim. Okay, you have two shores. Shivarim. They're tams. What's the law of a tam? How does a tam pay? Hatsi nezik. Migufo. Correct? So you have two tams. Shehablu ze itze. They two shores. They gored each other. Mitshalmim bemotar hatsi nezik. Okay, how do you make the calculation? Very simple. This shore damage this shore damage that shore. So there's damages on both sides. So you calculate the difference between the nizik, and the difference, you split it, and that's hatsi nizik. This guy damaged $100. This shore damaged $50. Okay, so there's a $50 difference between the damages. So the $50, so hatsi nizik, you pay $25. You calculate the difference between the two damages. You always, we were giving a case over here where a shore damages another shore. There's only one sword getting damaged. Here, two swords are colliding, damaging each other. So both have claims. You owe me, you owe me. So you calculate the difference, and the difference is per hatsi nezik. That's all it is. Again, read it inside Mishnah.
Where was the higher?
Obviously. Shnei shevarim tamin, shehavlu ze et ze, meshalmin bemotar, hatsi nezik. Look at Rashi. She's all the way on top. Six lines down. Bemotar. Motar means the remainder. Shamin mai ziko shel ze yoter al zakav shel ze. You calculate what the damages are over and above of the other one. Uboto motam mishlem mishel zik yoter ta hatsi. The guy who damages more pays the hatsi nezik. Shnehem muadim. Now let's give a case. Both are muad, and they gore each other. What's the law of a muad? Nezik shalem. But this guy gored him. This guy gored him. That's the two damages on both sides. So again, mishalmim bemotar nezik shalem. So again, you make the difference, and the difference, you pay full nezik. In our case over there, he damaged 100, damaged 50. So the difference is 50, pays 50, because nezik shalem. Ehad tam behad mu'ad. Oh, and then to another case. One shor was a tam, and one was a mu'ad, they gored each other. Mu'ad betam mishalem bemotar nezik shalem. So the mu'ad is going to have to pay the difference, nezik shalem. Tam b'mu'ad mishnah b'mutar hatsi nezik, and the tam will pay in the difference hatsi nezik. Again, so far there's no differences than we would have thought. Okay, v'chein. Oh, now we get into a different case. V'chein shne anashim shehablu ze baze. You have two humans, shne anashim, that damaged each other. Meshalmim b'mutar nezek shalem. We understand that also. A man, there's no such thing as tam. Adam mu'ad le'olam. And therefore you always pay the difference between, which, oh, you can't say hatsi nezik, it's not an animal. Therefore he pays always mu'ad. Ah, let's talk about now an animal and a human being that get into a fight over here. Adam bimu'ad. U'mu'ad be'adam. So you have a shor mu'ad that gores a man, and the man attacks the shor. So the damage is both ways over here. They're both mu'adim. Mishalem b'motah, nezik shalem. Okay. Two nezik shalems. So therefore you pay the difference, nezik shalem. Whoever damaged more has to pay the nezik shalem, whatever the difference is. Adam betam, betam be'adam. Now an Adam gets into a fight with a shor tam. He damages him, the shor damages him, so on and so forth. Adam betam, mishalem b'motah, nezik shalem. The Adam's got to pay nezik shalem. Tam be'adam, but the tam, even if he damages an Adam, mishalem b'motah, chatzi nezik. So the tam applies ben shor to a shor, ben shor to a Adam. Rabbi Akiva omer, af tam, shehaval be'adam, mishalem b'motah, nezik shalem. He says, no. The tam rule only applies to shores against shores. But a shore against an Adam is nezek shalem. So it's a big mahloket in exactly where the tam rule applies. By Adam, we all agree. Like you said, Adam mu'ad le'olam, he's always mu'ad, nezek shalem the first time. But sheik le'gabe a shore, shore le'gabe shore, first three times tam, then you have a mu'ad. The question is, shore le'gabe Adam, they already have a mahloket Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. Tanakama says, shore le'gabe Adam, the same rules. Tam, and then Hatsi Nezek. The Be'akiva says, no. You go damage Adam, it's already Nezek Shalem. Now the Gemara is going to give a source for this. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braita. Braita says like this. It's by the Perasha that talks about a shor that damages an Adam. Pasuk says, O ben yigach, O bat yigach. Damage the boy, damage the girl. Kamishpat haze ya'aselo. It says, you will follow this law. Now, obviously, there was a law written above. Whatever we wrote above, the same law applies when a shor damages a human. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Kamishpat shor b'shor. Kach mishpat shor b'adam. Ma shor b'shor tam mishlem hachi nezik. Mu'ad nezik shalem. אף שור באדם, תאם משלם חצי נזק, מועד נזק שלם. Very good. כמשפט הזה. Right before this parasha of שור שזיק אדם, it talks about the סוגיה of שור שזיק שור. It talks about the case of מועד and תאם. So whatever we said by שור שזיק שור, there's a difference between תאם and מועד, כמשפט הזה יעשה. Same law is going to apply. That what? When שור is מזיק אדם, the first three times will be תאם, and then you have מועד. כמשפט הזה. How is Rabbi Akiva going to learn? Rabbi Akiva omer kamishpat haze batachton velo ba'alyon, which means it talks about a shor damaging a human. Right above that talks about the case of a shor mu'ad, and above that talks about the case of a shor tam. So kamishpat haze is going on what's right above it. Which means, what's right above it is talking about a shor mu'ad. Oh, kamishpat haze, that dafka, when a shor damages Adam, it pays mu'ad. It's not going back on the whole story. It's going back on what? Batahton. What's the lower one, not the higher one. And the same, you have three pesukim that are back to back. You have on the first pasuk a shor tam. Then you have the second pasuk shor mu'ad. Then you have shor shenagah Adam. And by short shenagah Adam is kemishpat hazeh. What's kemishpat hazeh? Like the tahton, like the case that's right above it. But not like the case that is on top. Meaning the kemishpat hazeh only applies to the case of a shor mu'ad. Just the shor mu'ad pays nezik shalem, so to Adam, shor shenazik Adam pays nezik shalem, kemu'ad. So it's a big machloket between the Akiva and Tarakama. Oh, yachol, mishalem af min aliyah. How far you want to go? We know what's the law of shor mu'ad. You pay min aliyah. What does aliyah mean? Let's say the damage was a $200 damage. The shor is only worth $100. The guy's got to pay from his house. He's got to pay from his money. That's min aliyah. You have to compensate. You can't just say, listen, take the shur. I'll take the shur. That's only $100. I mean, on 100. So he's got to pay min aliyah. So are you going to tell me that when a shur is mazik adam, it's muad. You got to pay full. Even min aliyah? So Gemara says, tabu domar ya'aselo. Oh. It says, kemishpat hazeh ya'aselo. Lo. Migufo mishalem ve'eno mishalem min aliyah. Okay, so it's like a shur mu'ad, but not exactly. Shur mu'ad in the sense that it's nezek shalim, but it's megufo. It's not more than the value of the animal that was mazik. So it's like somewhere in the middle. Again, a shur that mazik a shur, if it damaged it $1,000, what does it pay? $1,000. Even though the shur that was mazik was only worth $500, the guy gives him the shur, he gives him another $500. Mashi'ekin, shur shizik adam. Okay, the damage is $1,000. The shor's only worth 500. Take the shor. Oh, but you only another 500. Sorry. Eno mishlem min aliyah. Kemishpat is a yaase lo. Lo meaning megufo, but not more. So that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Oh, the Rabbanan hazeh lamali. Oh, so what do the rabbis do with the word? Kemishpat. What do they do with the word? Really? Yaase lo should be the word. Which means, V'rabbanan zeh lamali, what is zeh coming to exclude? Oh, because I guess according to Tanakama, what do we say? Kamishpat zeh ya'aseh lo. So you say, the question is, what is the word zeh then coming to exclude? Because you're telling me it's the same exact law like above, whatever the law of a shor is that damaged the shor, whether it's tam, whether it's mu'ad, so too by a shor that's mazik and adam, whether it's it has a din, the first three times will be tam, hatsi nezik, and then the third time, whatever and on, it'll be a nezik shalem. So according to the rabbis, what is ya'aseh, what is hazeh coming to say? Which means like this. When it says kamishpat hazeh, it means a shor that's mazik adam, it's like this, but the exclusion of something else. Kamishpat hazeh velo kamishpat something else. Kot Rabbi Akiva is very good. Kamishpat hazeh meaning it allowed the same law as a mu'ad, but not the same law as a tam. Because the shor of mazik adam is always a mu'ad, but it's not a tam. So kamishpat hazeh, like the mu'ad law, not the tam law. But according to the rabbis that say it's exactly equal, that shor shezik adam is exactly like shor shezik shor, there's tam and mu'ad. So what's the zeh? Zeh is an exclusionary terminology. That's the Gemara's question. The Rabbanan, zeh lamali. Lepotro me'arba'a devarim. It's coming to exempt from the four payments, which means if a person, let's say, is chovel b'havero, if a person damages his friend, he has to pay four payments. Nezek, Sheve, Sara. But according to this, when a shor is mazik in Adam, there is no four payments. The four payments are only by Adam. But tazeh, the gabe this, but the gabe something else, it's not similar. Meaning the gabe tashlum arba'a devarim. Oh, Rabbi Akiva, lefotrom arba'a devarim minale. Has Rabbi Akiva? No. To exempt the shor shezik adam, that the owner of the shor be patur from arba devarim, nafkale v'ish ki yiten mum ba'amito. Ish ba'amito, v'lo shor ba'amito. Very simple. It says, if a man gives a mum to his friend, he pay four things, but not as a shor that gives a mum to his, to a human being. Oh, v'rabbanan. Rabbanan, what do you need kimishpat hazeh for? Rabbi Akiva's got a beautiful pasuk to teach me that there's no dala devarim. Habamin imahi, which means if I just have a basuk, ish ba'amito velo shor ba'amito, I would have said, habamin asa'al lechudeh. I would have said, okay, in that case where shor damage, maybe the shor, the owner of the shor doesn't have to pay for pain. Because pain is not a monetary payment. Pain is like, it is an extra payment. That she says, it's, You didn't take anything away from that. That's a compensation. Not a compensation. On the pain, it's not a damage. That's the point. You didn't. It's not a reimbursement. which is, when it comes to Adam, Shezik Adam, he pays Tzar even. But Shot Shezik Adam, you're not going to pay for this. You got to pay for the damages and for the workers' compensation and for the medical. Oh, that's why it says another pasuk, right? Aval ripui v'shevet emalitende, because that's already compensation. Kamashmalan, that what? That no, the pasuk says kamishpat hazeh comes and teaches me no. It's coming to limit that only Adam Shemazik Adam makes the payments, the five payments or the four payments, but Shor Shezik Adam doesn't make any of the payments. Not only Tzar, but doesn't make the payments of Shevet and the boy. Of course, Nezik, there always is. Nezik, we always have to pay. Hatsi Nezik, this, we always know. Nezik means they can pay the other payments. Very good. Next Mishnah. Shor Sheve Maneh. Okay, I have a shor that's worth 100. Shenagach shor sheve matayim. Okay. It gored an animal that was worth 200. Let's say it's a tam. Okay. So we got a hatsi nizik situation taking place over here. Ve'ena nevela yafe kilum. Which means now the dead animal is not worth anything. Which means it was a full damage. He damaged the full 200. Just totaled, exactly. So therefore, what's the payment? 100. So the deen is, notelet ashor. Because we know, hatsi nezik migufo, take the shor, finish. The shor's worth 100, I owe you 100, take the shor, finish. That's easy. So comes the Gemara and says, take the shor. It sounds like, take the shor, what if I want to pay you, but? Maybe I want to keep my shor. What do I owe you, $100? I'll give you $100. That's a notelet ashor. So the Gemara starts the subject. Matnitin mani, Rabbi Akivahi. The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Detanya, we have a braita, famous machlok between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. A shor damages another shor. How do you make the payment? So we know Hatsi Nezik, but where does it come from now? So one shita says, Yusham ashor bebedin devre Rabbi Yishmael. What does it mean, Yusham shor? Look at Rashi. Yusham, right in the Gemara. Yusham shor, you evaluate the shor, hamazik, that damage, bebetin, v'yitin l'masik ma'ot, demashor, shu hatsi nezik. U'b'shaveh maneh, shenagach l'shaveh matayim, v'enon nevelah shaveh klum kamayim. Exactly, which means, you bring the animal to the bebetin, the mazik, they evaluate, say, you know what, this animal over here is worth 100. Oh, 100? Okay, good. So that's exactly the damage that I gave you. 200 I damage you, hatsi nezik is 100. I take $100 out of my pocket, and I pay $100. That's the Mishmael. You evaluate the shor, in Beti, that I pay you. You sham hashor. Rabbi Akiva Omer, huchlat hashor. What does huchlat hashor mean? As he says, hashor atzmo yikah. No, you go to Betin. Betin says, oh, this shor is worth 100. Huchlat hashor. Thank you. You take the shor. Mm-hmm. So it's a mahloket if the nizak gets money or gets the shor itself. From Al Mishnah to Mashma, like Rabbi Akiva, gets the shor. Now, what's the machloket? What's the root of this machloket? Because lechaura, it's got to be based on how they're learning the pesukim over here. B'mai kamepage, Rabbi Yishmael sabar ba'al chov hu v'zuzehu demasikle. Rabbi Yishmael says, listen, the nizak is no worse than a creditor, which means you owe me money. Okay, you owe me money, so I'll pay you the money. Ba'al, you owe me zuz, you owe me money. Good. However, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Shutafo Ninhu. No. Not a creditor. I'm your partner now. Once already your shor damages my shor, I'm a partner in that shor. I have a piece of that shor. Where did this partnership come from all of a sudden? The mahlokan is really how to learn the pesukim. Umachru et ashor ahai v'chatsu et kaspo. So what do they do? Shor mazik. So it says you sell the shor hamazik, and you pay him half the price, right? Rabbi Yishmael savar lebedina kamazar rahmana. Rabbi Yishmael learns the pasuk. That pasuk is talking to Betin. Betin has a responsibility. Hey, listen, this guy owes $100. So you know what, Betin? Sell the shor. Make sure you get the right price, and then pay the nizak the proper money. Oh, however, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Linizak Umazik Mazar Lehu Rahamana. No. The Torah is talking not to Betin. It's talking to the Mazik and the Nizak. You are partners now in this animal. Therefore, you both have rights to sell.
They both have rights to sell. What does the Nizak have rights to sell? It's not yours.
Oh, yeah, you do. It is mine now.
Once already, your animal. Gore's my animal, and that damages it now, and they killed it now. Now already, I have a piece of that animal now. So therefore, umakru. Now in this case over here, where the whole animal's worth that amount, I'll take the whole animal. I mean, I have rights to sell it just like you have rights to sell it. I have rights to sell my hif, and you have rights to sell your hif. That means we already considered shutafim. Now in the case with the whole animal, that's the whole worth of what you owe me.
So the whole animal belongs to me. Nothing belongs to you. I'll take the animal.
Look at Rashi. Shutafim ninu. Be'ahishor demishta'eb ve'kra shavinu rachmana shutafim. Yeah, the Torah made the mazik and the mazak partners. Ukra mishtayim b'shaveh matayim. The pasuk is talking about exactly our case. A shaveh matayim, shenagach l'shaveh matayim. Kedetnam amaditin. Zehu shor ha'amud b'Torah. Hilkach, ha'akha de mazik eno shaveh ela maneh, notenet ha'shor. Exactly. Which means, we're 50-50 partners in the shor. But you know what? You owe me 100. My value is the whole value which you owe me. Takes the show because I have a partnership in the show. That's the way to be Akiva. Understands. That's right. The be Akiva. Comes to give us says, my benayu, or what will be a nafka mina, lema'aseh between them, which means, lema'aseh, you're right, each one is getting the same payment at the end of the day. He's getting $100 worth of show, he's getting $100 worth of money. Give me a practical nafka mina between these two shitot. Give us a simple nafka mina. Hekdisho nizak ika benayu. Very good. If the nizak made it hekdish, which means the animal gourd, right? All of a sudden the nizak comes along and says, that animal over there is hekdish. According to the Bishmael, you have no right to make it hekdish. You have no claim in that animal to make it hekdish. I owe you money. So you're a creditor. You can't make my animal hekdish. Whereas according to the B, Akiva, no, you're a partner in that animal. You can't make it like this. So it'd be nafkamina if the nizak made it like this. Is the ikdish hal? If you hold your own part of it, you can make it like this. If you hold, no. Look at that she. Hikdisho nizak ika benayu. The Rabbi Yishma'el lo kadish. Rabbi Akiva kadish. Very good. Comes again and asks a question. Ba'amine ravame rav Nachman. Mecharo mazik. What happened? The mazik sold the animal. Before they got the bedin, they didn't get the bedin. His animal was mazik. Okay, beautiful. Now what does he do? He sold the animal. Does he have a right to sell the animal? So the Gemara says, L'Rabbi Yishma'el Mahu. According to Yishma'el, what should be the Well, the Chaura, it's my animal. I do whatever I want with it. I owe you $100. So what's the she'ela? So the Gemara gives two sides. Mahu, what's the she'ela? Kevan damar Yishma'el Ba'al Hovu. Listen, I owe you money. Vizuzehu de masikle, your claim against me is only money. Machur, I can sell it. And I'll pay you $100 from cash. Or dilma, or maybe you say no. Kivan de mishabed le nizak, since the nizak has a lien on that animal, lav kol kemine. Maybe you can't sell it. Maybe I have a position in that animal over there. That she says, the idlo yaiv le deme, because let's say the guy doesn't come up with the cash. Shakil le leshor. He could take the shor. So you can't say that the nizak has no relation to this shor over here. You're right, you can pay me with money, but if you don't pay me money, I can take the shor. So maybe even according to Bishmael, the mazik would not be allowed to sell. That's the question. Kebara says, Amar le Rava says, Eno machur. Sale is not sale. Oh, v'hatanya mecharo machur. But we have a bride that says it is sold. Kabbalah answers, hozer vegovehu. Which means, yeah, you sold it. But the nizak can go to the guy that it was sold to and take it. So the Kabbalah says, if he can go and take it, So then what do you mean it was sold? There's a brayta that says it's sold. It's sold. It's not sold. If you tell me that the nizak can go to the guy that bought it and take it, so the Gemara says, V'chi me'achar she'ozir v'gobehu l'mam machur. What did he sell it to him? He didn't sell it to him anything. So the Gemara answers, L'ridya. No. He sold it to him for plowing. Right, which means, have a mazik. His shor was mazik. Beautiful. Okay, and I said, you know what? I'm going to sell it. According to Ishmael, technically, you should be able to sell it because, well, I owe you money, I'm going to sell it. Or do you say, well, there's a shamut over here. We got bright. One bright that says, it's not sold. One bright that says, it is sold. Oh, you know what I mean? It's sold, but like partially. For what? I'm selling it to you, let's say you have rights to plow. Good. He plows with the animal. All of a sudden, the nizak comes along and says, hey, oh, that's my shor. Oh, so therefore, he'll have to pay rent to the nizak. Because it's my, I have a claim over here. So he sold it for the dia. Look at the Rashi. Third line in Rashi, please. The dia. Shim harash bo lo keyah. I'm sorry, I said the opposite. Im harash bo lo keyah, eno noten de meharisha le nizak. I don't have to pay you for that. Which means I bought it for that. You want to take the shor now for payment? Okay. But legabeh that I was able to plow it, it's mine. You can't come along and tell me, hey, you're plowing with my animal. Hey, I bought it. So the sale is a sale legabeh. I can plow for free. But if the nizak comes along and wants to take it back, he has the right to take it back. So it's sold partially. Lididya. For plowing. That's the way the Gemara is saying. I can use it. Shma mina. Oh, so what do you learn from this story over here? You learn from this story. Lava umachar metaltelin bet din govin lo mehem. Big hadush. A guy borrows money. Right? And then he sold metaltelin. Right, he starts selling his goods. So the deal is bet din govin lo mehem, which means they can go to the likuchot and take the metaltelin. Just like over here we're saying that what bet din or the nizak can go to the guy that bought the shor and take the shor. So let's apply that to every case. I owe money. You know, I start selling my stuff. Guy comes to me, where's my money? Sorry, I don't have any money. But you just sold some stuff to this guy. Go to that guy. Beit Din will take and repossess the stuff. Now, comes the Gemara and says, and we know that's not true. That's right. That's right. That's the Gemara's question. Saying, based on what you're telling me over here, it should come out, this law, and we know it's not so, because metaltelin are not mishubad to the loan. Only karka has a lien. So what are you talking about? I mean, doesn't fit. What's the difference between the cases? Gemara says now, Shani hatam dichman da'asa o apoteke dame. Oh, what is an apoteki? Apoteki means, and it's an abbreviation of words, apotehe ka'e. Here it will be standing to be paid. Which means, you come to me, and I lend you money. I say, how am I going to get paid? I'll pay you. No, I'll pay you. I want to know from where. So you took a piece of metaltelin and you said, you can get payment from this. Now when you designate an item, a potekae, that's like you put a shabud on it. Then already, even if you sold it, I can go after that item. So a shor that was mazik, it's since there's a shabud on it, it's as if there's a lien on the shor. So I can go now after the shor, even. But a regular case of money, stam, you saw metaltelin, can't go after. So the Gemara says, V'hama Rava, what Rava said, Asa Avdo Apoteki. Let's say you made your Eved an Apoteki. You borrowed money. You guys, how are you going to pay me? Well, you know what? My Eved. There's an Eved over there, Eved Kanani. If I don't pay you, take the Eved. He made the Eved an Apoteki. He made the Eved like a collateral to the payment. So the Gemara says, Mecharo ba, Mecharo, then he sold him. Baal Chov goveh emenu. Good. The Baal Chov can go to the Eved and take it. However, Shor Apoteki, if he made his ox an Apoteki, Mecharo en Baal Chov goveh emenu.
So what are you talking? Here it says that what if you made the short in a potiki, you owe me money. How are you going to pay me my short? Now you go and sell it. I cannot go get the short. But in this case, you're telling me he can. What's the difference? So the Gemara makes a beautiful chiduk. Eved my ta'ama. What's the reason, by the way, when I make my eved na potiki, the baal hof can go get the eved mishum de'it lekala. Because there's a call, which means people here in the street, there's rumors in the street, there's talk in the street. When I'm selling this, everybody knows, oh, there's an apotheke on this over here. So therefore, the guy can't claim after, oh, I bought an Eved. No, you should have heard it already. Eved, just like on Karka, there's talk. People know what's going on with Karka. People know what's going on with Evids. On a regular short, no, not a damaging short. A regular short, I borrowed money. And, hey, you say, how are you going to pay me? My short will be in apotheke. Nobody knows what's going on with shorts. Sure. Now I sell it. The guy who bought the short doesn't know there was anything on the short. There's no talk. Oh, that's why you cannot come along and take it from him. Masha'enkel, the Gemara says, Hayname kevan de nagah kala itle. De Torah naghana karule. Everybody knows about the goring oxes. It already has a name, the goring ox. Therefore, when I make a short and a putiki, people know it's a famous short. Shores, oxes that gore are well known. Therefore, what happened? Let's just speak it out clearly now. The mazik, he damaged. You know what? If he damaged, you know what? I'm selling this short over here. According to the Bishma, you can sell it. I mean, it's still mine. I owe you money. Oh, so what's the deen? Mecharo, machur. But lenyan what? Lenyan, you could plow with it. But if the nizak wants to get paid from it, he could take it back. What do you mean, take it back? Are you telling me over here that a Baal Chov now can go take metaltelin? No, he made an apotheke. So what? You make a short in apotheke, it's nothing. That's a regular short. But a short that gored, everybody knows about it. And therefore, when this guy bought it, he must have known that this is a goring short. Therefore, he knows that there's stuff on it. Therefore, when the nizak comes to get paid from it, he can't say, oh, I had no idea. Just like in Eved, there's talk. Just like at Karka, there's talk. On a short as well, that's a Naghan, there's also talk. That's why it's sold. Yeah, it is sold. It's not sold at all. You can't sell it at all. I'm a partner. You can't sell it after me. But according to Mishra, that says, no, it belongs to the Mazik. He can sell it, meaning that the buyer can plow. The Nizak can come along and say, nah, it's mine. You can't charge the guy for plowing. Oh, he could take it. Huh? I put the key. Oh, I thought that. No, there's a call.
The Gemara continues. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava Kamed Rabbi Avhu. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava. Now she says Bar Ma'arava Me'eris Yisrael Hava. He was a Bar Ma'arava. He was from Israel. He learned to the Braita. He said the following. Machro. So we're talking about a case over where the Shor of a mazik damaged, right? The nizak, and now he has to pay. So it says machro. He sold it. We don't know who sold the animal yet, but they sold the animal. They sold the animal that was mazik. In machur, the sale is not a sale. Hikdisho, but if he made it hikdesh, mukdash. So the Gemara asks, machro man, who sold it? Ilema mazik. If you tell me that the mazik sold the animal after it was mazik, he sold it. Machro en machur, and you tell me the sale is not a sale. Mani, who must be the author of this statement? Rabbi Akivai, de amar hu hulat hashor, because Rabbi Akiva, we learned earlier, says that a shor that damages, that shor now belongs partly to the nizak. The shor belongs to him. Hence the mazik has no rights to sell it. Therefore when the Braita says machro en machur, must be the mazik sold it, and it's going according to Rabbi Akiva that says he has no rights to sell it. V'ekdesho mukdash. But if he makes an ekdesh, the ekdesh is hal. Atan Rabbi Ishmael. But that must be going to be Ishmael the Amar Yusham Hashur the Bedin. If you tell me the Ekdesh is Hal, that means it's the Mazik Shur. That follows Rabbi Ishmael that says, Yusham Hashur Bebetin, that all we do is evaluate the value of the shur, and we pay. But the shur belongs to the Mazik. So it's a Stida Lechaula. Because if you're telling me it's the Mazik that's doing the selling, so then on one end you tell me that the sale is not a sale, because he has no rights to sell it. That's like Rabbi Akiva. And then on the other end you tell me that the Ekdesh is Hal. That means it's his. That's like Rabbi Ishmael. Stira. Also, we have to learn differently. Ela Nizak. I must be talking about that the Nizak sold the shur. Machro eno machur. Oh, so again, if he sold it, it's not going to be good. Mani, who's that going like? Rabbi Ishmael. That must be following what the Shita of Rabbi Ishmael that says that the animal really belongs to the Mazik. If the animal belongs to the Mazik, so the Nizak has no rights to sell it. That's why Machro eno Machur. Hikdesho Mugdash. But if he made it Hikdesh, it is indeed Mugdash. Atan Rabbi Akiva. That's going like Rabbi Akiva that says that it belongs to the Mazik. So either way you're learning, you have a Stira in the Braita. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Mazik V'Divrei Hakol. Really, I can tell you, Le'olam Mazik. Really, it's talking about the Mazik is selling. Oh, so Mazik is selling, you told me Machro and Machur. So the Gemara says, V'Divrei Hakol. It's going like everybody. Malachaura, according to the Shita of Rabbi Ishmael, Machro and Machur, so I understand. Because what? He holds what? Rabbi Ishmael says again. Again, Rabbi Ishmael holds what? Rabbi Ishmael says, Yusham Ashur Bebeddin. Oh, Yusham Ashur Bebeddin, that means what? That it belongs to the Mazik. So I understand. That doesn't make sense then. Which means, Machro and Machur, why not? Lechaura belongs to him. So he said, no, it's going the Divrei Hakol. Machro eno machur afidu l'Rabbi Ishmael. Even according to Rabbi Ishmael. Why isn't it a sale? De'am mishabeda le'linizak. Oh, because there's still a shi'bud somewhat to the Nizak. Which means even Rabbi Ishmael is going to agree, even though the animal belongs to the Mazik, but he can't sell it. Why? Because you're right, still there is a shabu that the Nizak has on the animal. And therefore, he's not going to be allowed to sell it. Rashi, le'olam mazik, u'machro eno machur le'gufe ka'amar. Which means, all it means to say is, it's not a sale in totality. Yes, like we learned earlier, he could sell it for the plowing, let's say. Which means the Mazik is able to sell the shur, even according to the Bishmael that says what? That holds that Yusham Ashur. Oh, so then why Machro en Machur? Machro en Machur means don't think if he sells it that the Nizak cannot get paid from it. No. Machro en Machur means that it's not sold in totality. Meaning if the Nizak is going to go now to the guy who bought it, he can take it from him. Ella what? The guy doesn't have to pay him for the plowing and things like that. But the point is, don't think if he sells it, it's sold and the sharmut goes off. No. Machro en machur means that the sale is not going to take off the sharmut. Hekdesho mugdash. Oh, when you told me hekdesho mugdash, if I make the mazik makes it hekdesh, afilu rabbi akiba. Oh. According to Rabbi Akiva, what did Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva's shita was that the shor belongs to the Nizak. So if the shor belongs to the Nizak, so how could the Mazik make it Hekdesh? So Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Abu. Tamar Rabbi Abu, Gezerah, Shemi Yomru, Hekdesh Yotze Belo Pidyon. I think Gezerah, really the Hekdesh should not be Hal. But we don't want people to say that you made something Hekdesh and then you didn't make it Pidyon. So therefore, Rabbi Abu's deen is, even though the Hekdesh shouldn't be Hal, because it's not the Mazik's to make it Hekdesh, but what? You're going to say you have to do nothing? People are going to say that your Hekdesh goes away without a Pidyon. Therefore, we can say the bright is going, Lekule Alma, Tarun Banan. Short time Shizik. Okay, sure, we're going to go over to a brighter, a lot of dinim, but the Gemara is going to explain each din. Shortam shizik. Ad shelo amad bedin. Okay, before it stood in the judgment, machro machur. If you sold it, which means it's sold, the sale is a sale. Hekdesho, mugdash. If you made it hekdesh, it's hekdesh. Shehato, if you slaughtered it, venato bematana, and you gave it as a matana to somebody, mashasa asui. It's okay. Mishamad bedin, however, once already it went to the deen, and already the courts already ruled on it, machro en machur. The sale is not a sale. Hekdesho en a mugdash. Hekdesh not hekdesh. Shehato venato bematana lo asa velo kedum. Kedamo baale chovot. But let's say the mazik owed money out to other people, so the baal chov came and took the animal vehigbiho, and he took the animal ben chav ad shelo hezik, ben hezik ad shelo chav. Whether the obligation of the debt came first, then the damage, or the damage came first, then the debt. Either way, if the baal chov takes the animal, lo asu velo kelum. Nothing. He has no right to take it. Because the payment of the nizak comes from the goof of the animal, and we'll see what that means. This is the brayta. Continue. Mu'ad shezik, but a mu'ad that was mazik, that means the shor was a mu'ad. Ben she'amad bedin. Ben shelo amad bedin, whether it was omer in din, or whether it was not omer in din, machro machur. The sale is a sale. Hekdesh o mugdash. Hekdesh is hekdesh. Shachatov ratov matana mashasa asui. Kedemu baal chobot vegbiyo. And the baal chobot came and took it ben chavad shelo hezik ben chazik ad shelo chav. Mashasa asui. Because anyway they're paying men aliyah, so I don't care what happens to the animal. It's a mu'ad, he has to pay anyway full price. Now the Gemara is going to go to each step of this braita and analyze it. Amar mor. We take the braita step by step. This is why the Tam case now. Mecharo machur. Oh, you're telling me it's mecharo machur l'radya. It's only sold l'inyan its radya, l'inyan the plowing. Meaning, we're going according to Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael says, what? Yusha mashur. That what? The shur really belongs to the mazik. Oh, so technically he'd be allowed to sell it. But don't think when we say he's allowed to sell it, that the nizakna has no claims on the shur. No, mechra machul enyan, the plowing, which means the guy who buys it can plow it, but the nizak has rights to go down to that guy and claim it back and take it as payment. Good, that's what Ashish says. Mechra machul ashur tamkae achelo amad bedin. Correct. So he has a right to sell it. Mechra, but don't think it's mechra machul in totality. Because he cannot take the shabur off the animal. No, mechro machur is a sale. But if the nizak wants to get paid, go to that guy and take it back. Hekdesho mugdash. Oh, if you made it hekdesh, it's considered mugdash. Mishum derabi abu. Oh, that's following Rabbi Abu. Now, according to Rabbi Ishmael, that says it's his, it's the mazik shor, I don't need to. It's pashut that you can make an ekdesh. It's even according to the bi'akiva. Even according to the bi'akiva, that says it belongs to the nizak, still if you made an ekdesh, it's going to be hal, because of the bi'abhu's deen, that says what? Gizirah. We don't want you to say the ekdesh is not hal, the people will think that animals go out without a pidyon. So therefore, ekdesh shor, ekdesh, because of the bi'abhu. Shechato v'natno b'matana. Oh, he slaughtered the animal and he gave it as a gift to his friend. Masha asasui. Okay, it's done. What's that? It sounds like masha asasui means that's it. The nizak cannot take payment from it anymore. You once you slaughtered it, you gave it as a gift. The nizak is out. He cannot go take this animal. Oh, pishtaman natno b'matana. Masha asasui l'radya. Oh, I can understand if you gave the gift as gave the animal as a gift, meaning you gave it as a gift for plowing purposes. But if the nizak wants to go get paid, he can take that animal back. So that no b'matana mashas, it's not going to be worse than selling. Just like the sale is a sale for the plowing, so the gift will be a gift for the plowing, but the shemud is still there. In a shechato, but if you slaughtered it, there's no plowing over there. And you tell me mashas asui sounds like what? That now the nizak cannot get paid from the meat of this animal. Liti v'lishtalim b'sareh. Why not? Let the nizak still come and get paid from the basar. Why you tell me that if the guy slaughtered the animal and gave it as a gift away? So now you tell me that's it. Sounds like the nizak. Masha'asah. So nizak, can I get paid? Why can't he get paid? Let him go get the meat. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braita, hai, it says shor hai. And the elah hai. You can only get paid when the animal's alive, the mazik. Shechatomi nine. How do I know that I even get paid if the animal was slaughtered, the mazik's animal? Tawud lomar, umachru et tashor. Mikol makom. When it's umachru et tashor, it doesn't matter, high, not high. So the question then is, what's the case? If you gave it as a matana, why can't the nizak go get the meat? Why? Tell me, masha'asa asui. Meaning, by matana, I can tell you, masha'asa asui. Meaning, the sale is a sale. Meaning, the guy's able to plow with it, but the nizak can come and take it. Good. But matana, you can't say, by shaita, you can't say that. When you sold it for plowing, how are you going to plow with a dead animal? Ela, masha'asa asui sounds like it's his in totality. Why should that be? So, amar of shizbi, lo nitzlecha ela lefhat shechita. We're talking about over here, the enyan pechat shechita. What is pechat shechita? Mas shenifcheta damav b'shechitato. Now that the mazik slaughtered it, so obviously, it's nifchat damav, the price of the animal went down. In a mazik, mishalem, the mazik does not have to pay in that pot, which means he pays tam. So you pay migufo of the animal, correct? So you pay migufo of the animal, so now that the animal, let's say, became slaughtered, and therefore what happened when it got slaughtered, so now it became less, it's chasron, so the hadush of the mazik does not have to pay the nizak for this part. What would be the analogy? For example, we have a law that says like this. Get the clarity in this case. Shortam is mishtalem nak begufo. Okay? So what happens, let's say like this. The short, when it damaged, the goof of the short was enough to pay chatzi nizik. But now that it was nishat, it doesn't even have chatzi nizik worth to pay. So you would have thought that maybe the mazik has to compensate. Kamashmalan shechato v'natno b'matana. Of course the nizak can go take the basar. But even though the basar now is not worth the chatzi nezek, kamashmalan, that he's able to do that. And therefore the pot, the mazik does not have to compensate. Which is a big chidush over here. Which comes and teaches us, which we're going to see right now, a big chiddush. If I owe somebody money, and I have a collateral of some sort that's mishubad to this payment, and I damage the item, and cause it to lose its value, I don't have to compensate. Because that's what the guy's doing over here. He has the short. It's really owed to the nizak. What did I do? I did something to it to cause its value to go lower. And I'm off the hook. The mazik does not have to compensate. So the Gemara is going to say right now. Gemara says, Amar avuna b'redavi Yoshua, zot omeret. This is clearly teaching us, ha-mazik shi'budo shel havero patur. That's right. I owe my friend money. Yeah, I owe him something. So I have a field. I'm going to pay him in the field. I go to the field and I make holes and ditches into the field over there. Even though I told him, you're going to get from this field, that's how I'm going to pay you. So I'm mazik shi'budo shel havero, I'm patur. That's what's being said over here. Then she says, karka mishubedet the havero. Same thing like the case of the shor. The shor is mishubedet to the nizak, and he damaged it. Gemara says, pshita. Which means, of course, what do I need everyone to come and tell me? It's pashut that I'm learning it from here. What does he have to point it at? It's obvious. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u de tema, hatam du amar le, lo hasatik velo midi. Maybe in the shor case, when he slaughtered it, the reason why the mazik doesn't have to pay, the difference is because the mazik could tell the nizak, I didn't cause you any loss. De amar le, zika be'al ma'u de shakle. What did I take from the animal? All I took was its wind. What did I take from it? The animal's still an animal. I just took out its neshama. I just took out its wind. Which means, I didn't take out nothing. Well, why do I have to pay? For taking out the air from the animal? But in the case where I started making holes in the guy's property, in the sharbud, maybe I would have to pay. That even in that case, a person that's mazik the sharbud of his friend, does not have to pay. So comes the Gemara and says, now again, it's obvious, if you went and killed your friend's animal, you're not going to be able to have that claim. And say, oh, all I did is take out the air from its soul. That's pashutna. On a shabud, but you're able to say it. Because what I do to it, I just took out the air. But shaking when you broke his field, you damaged his field. Maybe you say that the Baal Hov has to compensate. Come on, no. So the Gemara says, Hayname Rava Amara, which means we know that already as well. Which is, what did I need you to come and tell me this Hindush? I know it already. Where do I know it from? From Rabbah. Well, what did Rabbah say? Rabbah, Soref Shtarotav Shel Chavero Patur. A guy goes, his friend has Shtarot. Shtarot that he's going to get paid with. You know, Shtarot he's going to use as to get paid his debt, whatever they owe him. So a guy goes, burns his friend Shtarot. Oh, so what's the deen over there? Even though now his friend is not going to be able to collect the Chovot, because the Soref now is Mazik Shabud. This is Shabud. So you see what? Mazik Shabud Havero. Even if he didn't be Adayim, like this case we have Soref Shtarotav, you don't have to pay. So therefore, what did Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua teach me more in the case of the field? We know in the case of Rabbah, when you burn your friend Shtarot, you have to pay. What are you burning when you burn your friend Shtarot? The Shabud. You don't have to pay. Because it's a grama. I'm not doing something directly. I'm doing something indirectly. Gemara says, no. Because then maybe a guy can claim, say, what do I do? All I burnt was paper. You want me to pay you for paper? But in the case where Mamashi made holes in the guy's shabud, maybe I would say, lihayef, maybe he has to pay. Kamashmalan. That what? The ahacha, in the case of the slaughtering the shor, the mazik slaughtering the shor, that the nizak wanted to get paid for, keman the hafar ba borot shechinu maharot dame, it's similar to the case where he dug holes into the shabud of his friend's field, and still what? Kamar ma sha'asa asui, and indeed, he is going to be patur, bechol, and yan. Again, you have to say the logic over here is, why is he going to be patur? Because that's the law. You're mazik a shamud. You're not mazik somebody else's property. It's really my property. It's just a shamud on it. So when a person's mazik shamud shel havero, so he's off the hook. He doesn't have to pay the difference between it. Okay. Comes the Gemara continues. Kadmu ba'ale chovot. Oh, now what happened? Ba'ale chovot came and they took the shor. So the Gemara says, Kadmu ba'ale chovot. And they took the shor. Ben hav at shelo hezik. Ben hezik at shelo hav. Lo asa velo kilum. I don't care when they took it. I don't care when the loan. I don't care when the debt was owed. Whether the debt was owed before it was mazik, or the debt came after it was mazik, doesn't matter. The bale chovot cannot touch the animal. Lefi she'en mishalim ela migufo. Because the animal is earmarked for the payment of the nizak. So the Gemara says, wait. Bishlama hezik at shelo hav. I understand if you tell me that why, if the Nizakim came first, then the Baal Hov, Nizakim Kadmu. That's why the Baal Hov can't take it, because there was something before you. This already is earmarked for the Nizak. Aval Hav Ad Shelo Hezik. But if you tell me that the Baal Hov really was first before it became a Mazik, Baal Hov Kadim. The Baal Hov came first. Vafilu Hezik Ad Shelo Hav. And even in the other case, where it was Mazik first, and then the Baal Hov came. Baal Hov Kadim. And really, I'm going to tell you, you tell me what, that the Baal Hov took the shor. You tell me that he has to give it back? Shema mina, do you want to prove from this? Baal Hov Me'uhar. A Baal Hov that came after another Shabud. Shekadam Begaba. Mashigaba Lo Gaba. You want to tell me what he took, he didn't take? That's a big machloket, by the way. Which means there's a machloket throughout Chas. That a Baal Hov already is late, which means somebody came before him in turn. But when he was tofes, it's a big subject to the Gemara, whether he can hold on to it since he was tofes or not. What do you mean? The way you're making it over is pashut. You're telling me, what? Pashut, if the Baal Hov came second, he's got to give it back. That's not so, that's not the majority. If that was the way the case is being studied, you have an answer to this famous machloket. So the Gemara is questioning twofold. The only part of this bright that makes sense is, if the nizak came first, then I understand why the Baal Chov maybe shouldn't take it. Because the nizak already is, has a sharmut first. And even then, maybe he has no rights to go to the Chetayla, but if he took it, he should be able to take it. So Gemara says, oh, you know what the case is over here? Le'olam emalach ma shegava gava. Oh, I want to tell you, really, if the Baal Chov took it, he keeps it. Which is really in a regular case, where that's it, there's another shebut before, and the Baal Chov comes, hey, I'm taking it. Really, he gets to keep it. So what's this case over here then with the Shor Mazik? Shani Hatam da Amar Leh. That's this line here. Here it's different. Because the Nizak can tell the Baal Chov the following statement. Ilu Gabach Hava. Let's say the Shor belonged to you. And damaged. Lo Minach Hava Gabele. Wouldn't I go and get paid from you? Wouldn't you have to give me the shor? Dehai Torah de Azkan Mine Mishtalamna. Because the payment that I get is from the shor that was mazik. That's the words. Now let's analyze the words and get the clarity of what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? In this case over here, normally I could tell you Baal Chov comes in his tofes. I don't care who comes first. Baal Chov keeps it. But this case is different. You know why? Because in this case over here, I'm going to tell you, you always give it to the Nizak. I don't care if the Baal Chov came and grabbed it. Sorry. Why? Because the Nizak can go to the Baal Chov and say, listen, if your shor, if this shor that we're talking about was your shor, and it damaged, wouldn't I be able to take the shor? Why? Because the payment of Nizakin comes from the shor itself. Which means it comes migufo shel shor. And therefore he's trying to come along and say, since the payment of Nizakin is in the shor itself, it's the strongest shi'bud. Which means it's more than a regular hov. And therefore he's just trying to say, don't pay attention to the first part of the statement. If the shor was by you, of course the shor was by you, of course you have to pay because it's your shor. That's not what he's trying to tell him. The reason why you pay from the shor is because it's mishtalamna mishor de azkan mine, from the shor that was mazik. Oh, and therefore the way that Tosafot explains it is like this. Ikara ta'ana hu chelek ha-sheni shel ha-tirutz. Dehai Torah de azkan, the Torah that damaged, the shor that damaged, mine mishtalamna. Kavarat Gemara, she'ashibud shel shor tam lenizak hazak yoter ma'ashibud shel ashor lishar ba'alei chov shel hamazik. Even if the chov came first, it doesn't matter. Even if the chov came first, still it goes to the nizak. If the chov came after, for sure it goes to the nizak. Even if the chov came first, doesn't matter. It goes like, why? Because the shi'bud on the shore is the strongest shi'bud. Shekin gufo shel hashor hu apotekin et tesuma nezek. Right? It's like it's built into the shore itself. Mashaken, a regular hover, you don't get it from the shore, you can get it from somewhere else. So therefore, the chadush over here, just to conclude, is when it comes to Baal Chovot, I don't care when the Baal Chov was there, whether the Baal Chov was first, or the Baal Chov came second, doesn't matter. If he's tofes the shor, give it back. Why give it back? I came first. Or even if I didn't come first, normally the law is, if I'm tofes, I get to keep it. Not in this case. Nizakin, the shabur is stronger. Why is Nizakin stronger? Mishtalem megufo. Comes from the guf from the animal. It's an apotiki, meaning it's as if I made a deal. You're going to get paid from the shor. And once you get paid from the shor, nobody else can take it. Baruch Allah, amen, amen.